making TV special.
Dennis. Made with creamy butter.
And you know what that means.
It's happening. I can feel it.
Yep.
It's your hand to compute. It's more than to compute.
The one and only Kraftwerk. It's more fun to compute. Of course, from Computer World, and oh, what a computer world it is, my friends. This is the B-side, episode 197 for Media Monarchy. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. Coming in early in the morning, December 10th, 2010, the year we make contact, to bust out the B-side and give you all the latest alternative news, from Food World Order, Cyberspace War, Ground Zero Media, Peace Revolution, Corbett Report, and first up, we're going to hit the latest from NewWorldNextWeek.com, my weekly video series with James Corbett of Corbett Report. WikiLeaks and I Patriot Act, People versus Banksters, and the top censored stories. Those are our three big stories. The first one, of course, is unavoidable. And we're going to dive in a little more fully into the WikiLeaks adventures in our upcoming episode 198. Causing a bit of controversy and fortunately going quite viral, folks have dug back to July on the first time James and I did an expose, if you will, on WikiLeaks. That video has been re-uploaded by folks. Thanks to BrassCheckTV.com for getting tens of thousands of more viewers to that video. And they posted it up and basically said, these guys nailed it back in July. So I'm humbled and honored to have that said. People versus the Banksters concerns the somewhat failed attempt in France and beyond to cause a run on the Banksters, and how that relates to our upcoming Silver Bullet Day, which is officially December 11th. JP Morgan is short on silver. If we all buy silver, we may be able to hurt them. That's the idea anyway. And for our third story, we play an exclusive clip from James' upcoming video archive DVD, coming very soon. And it was a conversation we had about our personal choices for the top censored stories of 2009. So this recording is just about a year old, but it shows how pertinent things stay and how easy it is sometimes to forget all the unbelievable news that goes on. So whether it's last week, last month, or last year, so much going on, and of course we always need to do more homework and studying. So that's the latest. New World Next Week, WikiLeaks, iPatriot, People versus the Banksters, and Top Censored Stories. Please get that. You can get it on youtube.com/Corbett Report and newworldnextweek.com. It's on Blip. Other folks are sharing it. Just please share it, copy it, comment, rate, post it up on Twitter, Facebook, any and all of those things, just to help get this information out. What's the saying? You catch the flak when you're over the target. I think nothing has gotten more flack for James and I and New World Next Week as when we discuss WikiLeaks. There seems to be an emotional attachment. And again, we'll get into that in the upcoming episode 198. We'll hear that perhaps Julian Assange as the new hero of the left, who has no heroes, their latest Obamasiah hero, of course, ultimate betrayal, if you will. So let's just leave that there, and we will touch on it more as we get into all the latest from cyberspacewar.com. But first, the latest episodes from Corbett Report 163 and 164. Meet James Corbett as part of this DVD release that I just mentioned. Episode 163 from Corbett Report plays an exclusive interview of James Corbett being interviewed by a good friend of his, getting into behind the scenes. And I know those things are kind of interesting, and the more you listen to folks, you're kind of curious where they're coming from. I know my first question always was, what's that guy doing in Japan? All those questions and so much more are answered in the excellent episode 163. And then 164, as part of the Documentaries That Matter series, it's the audio from John Hankey's new documentary, Dark Legacy. And you can learn more at thedarklegacy.com. It's basically an update of his previous film, JFK 2, The Bush Connection, one of the best documentaries breaking down the JFK assassination and all the devils that run throughout the story. What goes along with that is a long and excellent interview with John Hankey. And again, that's on the interview tabs on Corbett Report. There's a couple other interviews, one with Bob Chapman, and also the latest episode of In the Zone, which James co-hosts with Lieutenant Eric Schein. There's also a video called The Sunny Climes of Western Japan. Again, another exclusive coming soon from CorbettReport.com in this DVD, and As soon as I let you know more about it, or as soon as I know more about it, I'll let you know. I'm going to be perhaps a Western distributor, if you will, on some level for this new DVD video archive. But I just want to mention in that interview with John Hankey, which, again, I highly recommend, he mentioned something in there that made me go, oh, you know, audibly gasp. I was doing dishes and listening to it. The idea that, and John Hankey's also made a documentary about the assassination of JFK Jr. as well. The idea that the assassination of JFK Jr. was some sort of rehearsal for the events of 9/11 involving the collusion of the FAA and the military. If you've dived into this story at all, or you know the backstory and the real story of what went down with the assassination of JFK Jr., those kind of questions and those kind of puzzle pieces really start to fit together and, again, make you audibly go, aha, that helps put something together. So that's all the latest from CorbinReport.com. Now we jump to all the tons of latest and greatest from PeaceRevolution.org. Fantastic podcast brought to you by Richard Grove and some of the other folks behind TragedyAndHope.com. They've been busting out a ton of episodes. We posted them up all together, episodes 9 through 15. Episode 9 is the audio from the first episode of What You've Been Missing, which we covered a couple of weeks ago when that was released, and that's on wybm.blip.tv. Episode 10, Cognitive Liberty, a virtual roundtable discussion. That's the one with Richard Grove and Jan Irvin and Paul Verge and the host of the School Sucks podcast. Episode 11 is the audio from the mind-blowing documentary Human Resources, Social Engineering in the 20th Century. That, as well as Psy War, which is episode 13, two films by Scott Noble. Episode 12 is The Origins of Money, a virtual roundtable discussion. Episode 14, the premiere of DMT, The Spirit Molecule, a film by Mitch Schultz. And episode 15, Compassionate Communication, How to Mitigate Conflict in Our Thoughts. That's an interview and conversation between Richard Grove and Maria Heller of MERIA.net. All that and so much more amazing, thought-provoking edutainment, if you will, from PeaceRevolution.org. And look for great new things coming very soon. Hopefully a cool collaboration coming from Media Monarchy and TragedyAndHope.com. We now move to the latest from my man Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org. His most recent episode and related article, Revelation Number 9, The Murder of John Lennon. We'll also note, please donate to Clyde and his health battles. And of course, it's not easy for anybody in this new financial world order. But I put the link at the top, donate to Clyde. Your support for Clyde, for myself, for Peace Revolution, for Corbett Report, for all of those things. If you find the alternative media useful and helpful, and again, edutaining, throw in a few bucks towards the hosts and the researchers helps pay for all those things you don't really think of. The domain names and new headphones or, you know. Also want to mention my man Mike behind GroundZeroTV.org. He video archives every episode of Clyde Lewis in the KUFO 101.1 FM studios in downtown Portland, Oregon. The latest episode has a couple of guests, and I don't have those in the show notes. Getting into the, let's just call it, the assassination of John Lennon. We have a couple related updates, one from Kenny Sideshow and the other from the Daily Mail. Daily Mail asked if Mark David Chapman was perhaps a CIA hitman. The connections to World Vision and other CIA cutout connected fronts. The other thing we want to mention is Clyde is now podcasting out his own episodes, and we give you those links. groundzeromedia.org/gzpod/feed.xml. And again, that's posted up along with this latest Ground Zero episode. And again, we'll post every week the latest episodes and articles from folks that we admire, we being me at Media Monarchy, and are happy enough and lucky enough to be associated with on various levels. So we'll always post the latest media from those hosts that we admire. GroundZeroMedia.org, PeaceRevolution.org, TragedyAndHope.com, CorbettReport.com. So now we will move, after all that latest alternative news, to the slew of posts on CyberspaceWar.com. Again, huge thanks to my man Alan in Omaha for blowing up CyberspaceWar.com. If you would like to get involved in posting blips, articles, clips, anything in the cyberspace war world or the food world order world, you can contact me, MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. Hacktivism! And of course, we get right into all the related WikiLeaks adventures. Activist Post picked up the Reuters article, WikiLeaks Battle, a New Amateur Face of Cyber War, which seems to confirm cyber war has escalated and entered a new, more dangerous phase. The article reports WikiLeaks defense has become something of a popular rebellion amongst hundreds or thousands of tech-savvy activists. The online movement even has a name, Operation Avenge Assange. Current operation behind recent attacks on MasterCard and Visa, among others, is an outgrowth of an early series of attacks called Operation Payback. These operations used DDoS, distributed denial of service attacks, to deny access to a targeted website. An online group called Anonymous appears to be using social networking site Twitter to coordinate attacks on websites belonging to entities it views as trying to silence WikiLeaks. Will attacks continue until Assange is set free and WikiLeaks is no longer targeted? Question mark. This new development of internet anarchism via amateur attacks is bad news, as of course it plays right into the hands of those who wish to restrict the internet. Is this synthetic terror? Or again, as Webster Tarpley would call it, virtual flag terrorism. Seismologic.com gets into some of the reasons perhaps WikiLeaks is not a psyop. We also will reference here, and we'll reference it again on the upcoming episode 198, an article from someone that goes by the name Zen Gardner, with an article on beforeitsnews.com, and we'll mention that beforeitsnews.com does syndicate out all the posts from Media Monarchy and Food World Order and Cyberspace War. We bring up Julian Assange and his annoyance of 9/11 truth, which is just one sticking point surrounding all of this. Is the internet 9/11 underway? Is this the catalyzing catastrophic event? Is this the punch in the Facebook, as we've called it? Is this the beginning of an I-9/11, which will give us the I-Patriot Act? Another one from the aforementioned Zen Gardner, again at beforeitsnews.com, believes circumstances are set for a false flag event. In other words, we're ripe for one. An ominous sign perhaps being Geraldo Rivera's recent consideration of 9/11 questions and Building 7's collapse, more specifically, as questionable. We'll also note that Brzezinski, of course, has said people are waking up. We've never had more people waking up. And that frightens elites and insiders and big and small devils like Brzezinski. We're not ones here to always say every little single thing is a conspiracy and every string pulled is by the Illuminati, and no. Just the big things. The things that matter. Let's keep moving. We'll keep moving through cyberspace war. And again, just tell you that we'll go into greater detail on the WikiLeaks PSYOPs again on the upcoming episode 198. Let's have a few more words about Gareth Williams. Remember him? Perhaps he was poisoned. Trowbridge H. Ford writes in the article, Gareth Williams and Gudrun Loftus murdered to avoid their becoming more George Blakes. Stay with us. Interesting tale about international spying. Gareth Williams and Gudrun Loftus were apparently working together to expose unflattering activities of the British and German governments. Williams, a British government communications headquarters employee who worked with MI6 and the NSA, and Loftus, an Oxford University lecturer, paid for their efforts with their lives. Trowbridge's analysis is worth reading to explore alternative views of current events. Gareth Williams, in the picture we have posted up, appears sick. Trowbridge believes Williams was the victim of poisonous mushrooms. It's concluded by Trowbridge, both knew too much and could embarrass the British government, leaving only murder as an alternative to rein in the spies. Williams also crossed paths with the sexy Russian spy Anna Chapman. Trowbridge enlightens how perpetrators may link up behind the scenes. It's an interesting read, and some of the damaging evidence secreted by Williams and Loftus was turned over to WikiLeaks. An interesting one on a new toy. Barbie Video Girl. A doll with a camera and a necklace and an LCD screen on the back. Could be used for child porn, the FBI warns. We have this posted on cyberspacewar.com. I also have it, of course, posted on mediamonarchy.com, and we're going to get into it a little bit more again on the upcoming episode 198. So a bit of crossover between episodes. But you may recall through the last year we've talked about the spy plane known as the X-37B. Well, mission accomplished. The X-37B has landed at Vandenberg Air Force Base December 3rd at 4:16 a.m. at Vandenberg in California. SpaceDaily.com notes, quote, "We are very pleased that the program completed all the on-orbit objectives for the first mission," Lieutenant Colonel Troy Geis, X-37B program manager, said in a statement. The next unmanned mini shuttle is scheduled to launch next spring. Eyes in the skies, to say the very least. Here's a question. Whatever happened to Telstar? The first communication satellite, or COMSAT, if you're nasty. Telstar was the first COMSAT to relay TV signals, and it was launched from Cape Canaveral on July 10, 1962. You can check out old launch videos of that, and you can dig into even, of course, the Wikipedia entry as Telstar as victim of the Cold War. The day before Telstar 1 was launched, the U.S. had tested a high-altitude nuclear bomb called Starfish Prime, which you may recall we've discussed briefly here on cyberspacewar.com, which energized the Earth's Van Allen belt, where Telstar 1 went into orbit. This vast increase in radiation combined with subsequent high-altitude blasts, including a Soviet test in October, overwhelmed Telstar's fragile transistors. The satellite went out of service permanently on February 21, 1963. The AT&T-owned satellite inspired the band The Tornadoes to a number one hit in the UK and the US that was named after the satellite, Telstar. I love that song. I even have a 45 of that song. Great little instrumental surf number with great samples and technological overlay, really ahead of its time kind of song. I've got it on 45 in the East Coast media storage facility of the Media Monarchy Empire. One related update posted up at the bottom of this, whatever happened to Telstar. Three Russian satellites crashed in the Pacific Ocean near Hawaii just a few short days ago. And our last post on cyberspacewar.com is the 12-9 DEF CON, December 9th, Net Freedom and Dark Objects. An interesting op-ed from the Washington Times, waving goodbye to internet freedom. noting, among other things going on in the cyberspace world, the FCC has crossed the Rubicon into online regulation. Again, that's something we've referenced, but have not had the time to get into. Again, we lay out the path. I put interesting stories together in a contextual way that hopefully lays out a path that all of us can hopefully do more research on. Hopefully. A look at America's deadliest space weapons. This from Helium.com, where knowledge rules. Space weaponry has been the focus of military men since the Nazi German High Command began exploring the concepts as far back as the late 1930s. Following World War II and the advent of atomic weapons, the USSR and the USSA began to compete for domination of Earth's orbit. Both realized the strength contained in the age-old military axiom of taking the high ground. This interesting article gets into, of course, the aforementioned X-37B, and also parasitic microsatellites, space cannons, DARPA, Arthur C. Clarke, of course, who wrote 2010, The Year We Make Contact. EMP Defense Council was founded on Pearl Harbor Day. More on that from iStockAnalysis.com. As we'd always like to note, the memes and the language and the copycats and the dates. A date which will live in infamy. New India web controls as BlackBerry gets a reprieve. More on that from the Sydney Morning Herald. Fake microchips threaten military computers. More on that from SpaceDaily.com. And we close out with an ominous note from the Daily Mail. Massive dark object lurking on the edge of solar system, hurling comets at Earth. I believe we've noted that story before. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen tomorrow. I think we have a few 100 years to worry about that one, at least. If we make it there. With our remaining few minutes, let's jump now to foodworldorder.com that I'll admit is now becoming the kind of forgotten sibling in the media monarchy family. It's also winter. Things come in seasons with a harvest. But we'll hit the December 12th binge and purge, Nano Foods and Merck Puppets. The Food Safety Modernization Act charade dances on. Dems now trying to pass the food safety language by hiding it in H.R. 3082, and I believe there's even been another update since that. That story that I just mentioned comes from naturalnews.com. You'll have to actually Google Senate Bill 510 to get the latest on this. And again, we'll tell you, call your reps. It's really easy. It's really gratifying. Even Forbes agrees, thanks to Food Freedom for bringing this to our attention, more FDA authority won't improve food safety, of course, because it's going to be another boondoggle bureaucracy that's not going to crack down on the big, massive agri-farms that we know are causing the majority of the problems. Not your backyard garden. They just want you under their green thumb. And again, we can't even escape from WikiLeaks on Food World Order. Leaked cables reveal the GMO and agri-fuel agendas. More on that from GMWatch.org. And I want to state right here, as we'll have to state it again on the upcoming episode 198, where we'll dive deeper into the WikiLeaks PSYOP. I'm not trying to say nothing good has come out of it, but it's just more confirmation of things we pretty much already knew. So I don't want to poo-poo at all and say we haven't found anything. We found a lot more out about, as in this case, the GMO and eugenics agenda, just as we found out about more about DynCorp and the military and human trafficking, again, as we've known. But closing out the binge and purge, food stamp rolls continue to rise. More on that from the Wall Street Journal. Artificial nano food could soon show up at a store near you. That's from Natural News. Rat in curry prompts call at a Bangladeshi university. More on that from the BBC. Sesame Street rolls out Superfood Muppets, sponsored by Merck. Wouldn't you know it? And they're very proud of it. You can link over to the Sesame Street page and see it. I was worried I couldn't find, okay, where's the documentation for this? But it's right there. Very proud. Sesame Street and the pharmaceutical industrial complex. Plop your kid down in front of that. The last note on the Binge and Purge is an interview with Dr. Paul Connett, chemistry professor, on your toxic tap water. And we've noted again the water wars, the rocket fuel, the pharmaceuticals, all the things. Again, but you're a dirty human and you need to pay your carbon taxes to the Rothschilds. Our final story on Food World Order and our final story on this 197 B-side episode from MediaMonarchy.com, Botox apples, genetically modified to keep from browning. This is from Delish.com. The expression, one bad apple spoils the bunch, may soon have to be retired. Okanagan Specialty Fruits, a Canadian biotechnology company, has petitioned the USDA for approval of its genetically modified non-browning apple. The company is marketing the fruit as the Arctic, while critics have taken to referring to them as Botox apples, because they give the false impression of being young and healthy. According to the company's website, with a link for you, scientists have developed polyphenol oxidase technology that essentially turns off the enzyme in the fruit that causes the browning reaction. They look like apples and grow like apple trees and produce apples that look like all other apples, and when you cut them, they don't turn brown. OSF's President Neil Carter told the AP, the benefit is something that can be identified just about by everybody. Just about. There you have it, my friends. That's all the latest alternative news from our good friends at GroundZeroMedia.org and PeaceRevolution.org and CorbuReport.com and all the other related news from CyberspaceWar.com and FoodWorldOrder.com. Again, if you find this information valuable, if you enjoy the production, any of those things, please hit the donate button, throw a couple bucks. It helps us keep going and keep growing as independent, commercial-free, non-corporate alternative media. This has been the B-side of episode 197. It's December 10th, 2010. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, reminding you, as always, don't hate the media. Become the media. Take care.
would you explain it?
Combining music and stylized images.
It's all remote control.
Each one of those images was electronically based.
Same out on my track.
And that concludes our program for tonight.
This could really catch on.
I can't remember when I've been so moved.